This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Inside Music. I'm your host, George Mariner Moll, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra. In each of these programs, we'll be cajoling you to notice details in music that may have escaped your attention, but we think are definitely worth investigating. At the Discovery Orchestra, we believe that the more musical detail we notice, the more pleasure we receive from listening. Our second pilot episode is entitled, The Problem with Program Notes. Let's get started with a little Mozart. That was pianist Jean-Bernard Pommier playing the first movement of Mozart's piano sonata in C major, K545. So what is the problem with program notes? I am not saying that program notes are unworthy of our attention, far from it. But think about this. We get to the concert hall for a performance, open our program, locate the notes for the first composition, and find something like this. The first theme in this Sonata Allegro form movement begins on an ascending C major triad. The transition then commences with a four-step descending sequence of ascending and descending scales. The second theme, in G major, begins as a faster mirror image of the first theme and gives way to a closing section of descending arpeggios. By now, not all, but many people in the audience reading these program notes are thinking, what on earth are they talking about? And without any musical examples to illustrate each of these statements, it doesn't provide much to hang on to. Truth is, it might be better not to provide program notes at concerts because people are inclined to read them while the music is being performed, which by then is too late. And with the result that the vital musical information being transmitted by the performer will merely serve as background music to reading. And even worse, one might never learn to understand and experience and enjoy sonata form. Perhaps the greatest recipe for writing a movement of music ever to come down the pike. The first thing to understand about sonata form is that it's the offspring, the child, if you will, of ternary form, designated by the letters A, B, A. The essence of ternary form is that the first musical idea presented, called A, is succeeded by a different idea, called B. Then we return to the first idea, A. I'll sing a short example. Da 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 dum da da dum dum da da dum da da dum da 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 dum 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 da da dum da da dum dum da da dum dum da da dum da da da. So we had Frère Jacques rudely interrupted by Mary Had a Little Lamb, and then we returned to Frère Jacques. Composers and listeners love ternary form because it's so emotionally satisfying. It's like going on vacation. We start at our home, A. We leave and arrive at our vacation destination, B. And then return home, A. And no matter how wonderful that vacation destination may have been, it always feels so good to come home, where we started, where we're comfortable, where everything is familiar. Sonata form is just an expanded version of the A, B, A recipe. The A section of sonata form is known as the exposition and contains four critical components. A first theme, which in the case of this Mozart movement sounds like. The next component is known as the transition. Transition to what? To the second theme. Composers usually don't like to abruptly jump from their first theme to their second theme, so they write a transition, which I like to think of as musical mayonnaise. In a sandwich, there are often disparate ingredients, tomatoes, lettuce, cheese, etc. Mayonnaise transitions these ingredients in a way that is palatable. Musical transitions connect disparate melodic themes in a coherent, logical fashion. The transition in this Mozart movement begins with ascending and descending scales. We now arrive at the second theme, which frequently contrasts with the first theme in a number of ways, of which the most important is it's in a different key or tonal home base. Here's the second theme. Now I'll play intentionally shortened versions of the first theme and second theme, one right after the other. See what else you notice in addition to their being in different keys. Played in this condensed fashion, it's easy to notice what was said in the infamous program notes. The first theme begins with an ascending C major triad. The second theme in G major begins as a faster mirror image of the first theme. Mirror image refers to the fact that the first theme begins on the bottom pitch of a C major triad and works its way up. The second theme begins on the top pitch of a G major triad and works its way down. Finally, we get to the last of the four components of the exposition, known as the closing section, which in this Mozart movement begins like this. And ends like this. Here's Here's the entire exposition of this movement, played again by Mr. Pommier. It's a tradition of sonata form that the exposition is repeated, note for note, and composers will indicate that in the score. The first time, I'll say the names of the component parts as they occur. The second time, you're on your own. First theme. Transition. Second theme. Closing section. Did you follow the first theme, transition, second theme, and closing section? Having finished illustrating the exposition, we now move on to the middle, or B, section. Remember, we have to leave our house and go away on vacation. And this is where sonata form really gets cooking with gas in what we call the development. In the development section, the composer's aim is to cause the listener some mental discomfort. Really? Well, yes. Some kind of emotional discontent, and unlike a song that might contain words that are intentionally disconcerting, this must be accomplished entirely by manipulating abstract sounds. So how do composers accomplish this? In the development, some of the themes of the exposition, and any of them are fair game, are going to be noticeably changed or developed so that they feel different to the listener. Let's enter Mozart's development section. Here's an abbreviated review of possible thematic candidates for development. First theme. Transition. Second theme. End of the closing section. Listen to the start of the development and decide which themes Mozart selected for alteration in some fashion. Did Mozart use the first theme? No. Did he use the second theme? No. What material did he use to begin the development? Did I hear some of you say, the end of the closing section? And if so, you would be correct. Let me play the right-hand part of the end of the closing section, and then the beginning of the development. The end of the closing section has been altered from G major to G minor as the development begins. Listen again. Did you notice what other thematic material was altered? It's the scale passage of the transition, which felt lighthearted in the exposition. Now, it's almost ominous, as performed by Mr. Pommier. We're going to listen to the entire development, but before we do, remember that eventually, we have to return to the comfortable feeling of A, of coming home again, after our vacation in B-land. In a sonata form movement, this arrival back home should sound like the movement is starting over from the beginning with the first theme. This third section, the return of A in sonata form, is known as the recapitulation. So if you are listening to this show safely seated by a radio or computer, raise your hand when Mozart starts to recapitulate. Doesn't it feel great to be home again? As Mozart recapitulates, he will make some subtle changes, because he can, because he's Mozart, and because such clever things occurred to him as easily as breathing for the rest of us. For example, the transition in the exposition goes like this. Scales in the right hand, accompanied by chords in the left hand. Now listen carefully to the transition in the recapitulation. What happens here? Did you notice that after starting with scales in the right hand accompanied by chords in the left hand, the hands suddenly switch parts? Scales in the left hand accompanied by chords in the right hand. Mozart also makes this passage twice as long as it was in the exposition. Listen again. Effective surprises like these are the kinds of things that perceptive listeners delight in as they occur in a piece of abstract music. Here's another one for you to notice. I'll just play the right-hand part at the beginning of the closing section, first in the exposition, followed by the way it works in the recapitulation. Instead of continuing the pattern downhill, Mozart suddenly leaps upward to finish the idea. The effect of this little surprise is positively joyous. However, if this music was just being heard as background music for lunch, and our attention was diverted to our sandwich, or if we were in the concert hall reading the program notes at precisely that moment, we would probably miss this delicious musical morsel. Before we listen to the entire first movement of this sonata one last time, and I sincerely hope it won't be the last time you listen to this movement, I'd like to clarify some terminology. The word sonata, by itself, has been used for centuries by composers to describe a variety of musical compositions. However, precisely what they meant by that term has changed over time since the early 1700s. Let's just leave it at this. The word sonata, used by itself, describes a musical composition containing one or more movements or chapters. Sonata form is a term musicologists use to describe a specific recipe for writing a single movement of a larger composition, such as a three-movement concerto or a four-movement string quartet or symphony, and yes, a three-movement sonata. Sonata form is also sometimes called sonata allegro form. This refers to the fact that the speed or tempo of this recipe is brisk or lively. And if this were not enough, sonata form is also sometimes called first movement form. And you can guess why. Sonata form has been frequently used as the recipe for writing the first movement of a symphony, concerto, string quartet, or sonata. So, who invented sonata form? Well, no one composer, but a number of them had a hand in its evolution, some familiar and others perhaps not. Bach's son, Carl Philipp Emanuel, Johann Vonhall, Carl von Dittersdorf, Franz Joseph Haydn, and Mozart, among others. But the principal reason I wanted us to spend some time with this recipe is this. It's been used to write thousands of movements by the composers we know and love. The sonata form recipe has been continuously evolving and reworked. In the hands of composers like Beethoven, Brahms, Tchaikovsky, or Dvorak, it's been used to create incredibly powerful musical statements, movements that are, in many cases, two, three, or four times the length of the Mozart movement we've been listening to. Composers sometimes preceded a sonata form construction with an introduction, like this inward-looking one by Dvorak in the first movement of his Ninth Symphony. And they often concluded their sonata form movements with an over-the-top, extra ending, a postscript, if you will, known as a coda, like this one, also from the first movement of Dvorak's Ninth Symphony. Now that's a coda. And by the way, the Dvorak excerpts were performed by Amarin Alsop conducting the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. If we as listeners absorb the basic essence of this formula for writing a movement of music, we will possess the key that unlocks the myriad individual expressions of sonata form that inhabit the world of classical music from the mid-18th century to the present day. If we make the personal decision to give music our undivided attention, and the music we're listening to is filled with delicious details, like the first movement of this Mozart piano sonata, we will find that our decision to listen will be rewarded 100-fold. Now that you're completely familiar with the principal components of the Mozart, let's have a little spot quiz. That was the transition. And of course, first theme. There we had the end of the closing section, and last but not least, the second theme. Listen to Jean-Bernard Pommier play the entire movement once more. Enjoy the exposition. Feel the tension inherent in the development. Sense the release of the tension as Mozart recapitulates, and be delighted by Mozart's subtle changes in his recapitulation. Thank you. This has been Inside Music. I'm your host, George Mariner Moll, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra. The producer was David Ozenberg. If you would like to explore more about Dvorak's use of sonata form in his Ninth Symphony, visit the Discovery Orchestra's website at discoveryorchestra.org and click the YouTube button. Then, Videos in the menu bar and select Discovery Orchestra Chat 159. Our chats feature easy-to-follow visual listening guides on screen. Inside Music episodes can also be heard as webcasts at wwfm.org by clicking Classical and then Webcasts. Thanks so much for being with us. Inside Music is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and wwfm.org. Tune in this September for our next episode, Carnival of Sound, featuring the exciting Roman Carnival Overture by Hector Berlioz. This is George Mariner Moll reminding you to listen better.